Okay, well, the world's ended. Oh man, did the world ever end? The world has comprehensively ended, and we're back. I'm back. It's Tuesday evening. I've just been listening to some of the audio that we captured. We got some really good stuff. It's frustrating. We had some really nice stuff with G talking about getting boogie fever and being in Vietnam and falling on her ass on a dance floor in front of a who's who of Hanoi. All kinds of good stuff that unfortunately is unusable due to wind noise in the background. But that doesn't matter. We've still got a whole bunch of audio that is usable. And it's all good. It's so all good. To pick up the story where we left off, it was Saturday night, right? And things were looking a little bit grim. I mean, I was okay. I'd gotten weed off that and I had boogie fever and I was happy enough, but the major was getting on a bit of a downer because due to lack of mobile coverage, we hadn't been able to hook up with this guy Ash, and we couldn't find anyone that we knew, and we were starting to go into those nerves of teams a bit, and the drug situation was looking fairly tenuous. So things were a bit grim. She wasn't feeling it, so we decided to go and see Thad again, which turned out to be absolutely the correct thing to do because Thad sorted us out. He was the self-appointed officer in charge of sorting us out and ensuring we had a fucking incredible time. Totally out of the goodness of his heart. You know, like, couldn't perceive that he had any kind of motive or agenda other than a desire to propagate good vibes. Legendary bloke. First of all, he took us to the Rainbow Serpent admin tent. And produced a handful of crystallized MDMA, invited us to dig in. Then he gave us each half a cap of this white, flaky, organic substance, which he told us was called catamine, which he explained was like ketamine except with a cat. And by that point, the major finally was starting to catch a bit of the boogie fever, so he knocked back some mojitos and we went dancing. And we danced and danced for about an hour, and then Thad produced from out of the teeming mass on the dance floor this guy wielding a small bottle of clear liquid, and he dropped a single drop of this liquid onto our palms, each of our palms, with an eyedropper, and we were instructed to lick our palms, which we did, and everything went a bit funny after that, and I had to go and sit down under a tree and have a cigarette. After about 5 minutes, I looked at my watch and discovered that in that 5 minutes, I'd been sitting under the tree smoking a cigarette. 3 hours had in fact gone by. Everything is kind of blurry after that, but I have a vague memory of piercing the veils of illusion and precipitating the apocalypse and witnessing the end of the world, which is something that I always enjoy. It was a very powerful and intense night. It was a dark night. You know, it's quite dark. I was saying to Thad the following day, this guy Thad, he's a shaman and a magician. He's recognizable as, you know, I mean, I can't pin anything on him directly. He's liable for nothing, this guy. This totally offhanded way. Having shown me, this is just one theory that I'm constructing of infinite theories that I could potentially construct, but he's recognizable as having shown me in this totally offhanded way. That I am a self, or that I'm recognizable as being a self-centered, immature little prig who thinks he's seen it all and knows everything. But in absolutely the nicest and most genuinely constructive and open-hearted possible way imaginable in the world ever, and then some, with benefits and shit. I fucking love this guy's work. I hunted him down on Sunday once I'd sort of regained the power of speech somewhat. You know, I spent about 3 hours looking for him just so I could shake his hand and say to him, Thaddeus, I said. That was the psychedelic experience that I have always dared to dream of, but until now, never dared to ask for. And I have you to thank, my friend. You're a wise man of singular insight, and I love your work. He just smiled quietly to himself. Very wise man. And he said, how was it? I said, oh, it was a bit dark, bit of a dark night. And he again sort of smiled knowingly, looked at me, stroked his chin. Yeah, I like the dark side, me, he said. Like the dark side. Oh, fucking legend. But it was, I mean, I felt a bit like the fucking devil because for some reason I'd got it into my head on the morning before we left to paint my nails black. and I was wearing big clompy boots while, you know, everyone else was walking around in sort of bare feet or thongs, you know, big clompy boots, black nails, just shaved my head. I felt like the devil crashing this white lady hippie shindig. And I got a few bad vibes off people, but not in any serious way or off anyone who mattered, because everyone who mattered could see that I was not really the devil. I was merely playing the role of the devil, you know, which is a role that somebody's got to play. And masochistically enough, it's a role that I enjoy playing sometimes. Where was I? The whole thing, yeah, but things got a bit dark, but never, you know, like, it's very twisted in some ways. Sort of, I saw some of the most twisted things I've ever seen, but incredibly beautifully twisted. And I never got the fear. I was sort of flirting with the fear at some times, but always in this very controllable way, which I actually really enjoyed. And nothing could go too far wrong in any case, because the good vibe police were out in force. Oh my God, these hippies are not messing around. There was virtually no security, you know, in the traditional sense, but they didn't need it because they had the whole place on lockdown vibe-wise. It's hard to explain, but it's sad was, again, explained to me in, once again, a very offhand way. You've heard of libel for nothing. This guy is liable for nothing. He puts the nothing in libel for nothing. Probably didn't even exist. He was probably a plant, but I'll get to that. This thing is quite a big deal, Rainbow Serpent. Like, about 7,000 people turned up this year. They had a budget of something like $700,000, turnover, a lot of cash. It's been going for like 11 years, and it's budgeted in such a way that it makes no profit, and it's not expected to make a profit, but it generates this whole alternative currency. Basically consisting of good vibes and goodwill, which is this really powerful thing which enables extraordinary things to happen. You know, and via sort of trickle-down effect, it creates this entire quite complex alternative economy, you know, sort of barter economy of good vibery that, you know, affects everyone at the festival. It's a really extraordinary phenomenon. These hippies are not messing around. But they have to protect their asset, and they protect it, they did. They had, you know, a great big vibe control center placed at a key point on the site, this huge tent with a massive crystal formation in it from which all the sort of light workers and good vibe police coordinated their good vibe propagating activities. But they weren't just confined to the tent. They were all over the place. The place was crawling with, talk about live art. They had the place wired from head to toe, crawling with hidden undercover white light agents, secretly conspiring on behalf of the Rainbow Serpent to brainwash not just everybody at the festival, but everybody, absolutely everybody, absolutely everybody in the whole wide world, with this lethal combination of healing good vibes, subliminal suggestions to disregard the distinction between what is real and what is not real, and a lethal, devastatingly insidious mnemosomatic virus known to initiates as boogie fever. Terrifying stuff. You may be cynical, you may be skeptical, blob reader, you may laugh. But I look you in the eye and I say unto you, these hippies are not messing around. They were protecting their asset, and they did it extremely well. I think Thad was probably one of them. He looked like an electrician, not a hippie, but it would be a mistake to underestimate these people. They're not messing around. He was almost certainly a plant. That acid was probably just water. It was that kind of shindig. But it didn't matter. It was still the real motherfucking deal, and that is the point that I'm making with my strange ranting. I can't be entirely sure myself that I wasn't unconsciously co-opted by the secret undercover vibe police to play the role of the devil. They had this whole carnival thing going, and it was many, many performers, live art performers, fucking circus performers, and it was very difficult to tell, you know, who was a performer and who was a real person. And of course, at the end of the day, it was recognizable as an illusory distinction. Like so many distinctions that we make, it was recognizable as an entirely illusory distinction. Indeed, pierce the veils. I was allowed a glimpse of insight just between you and me, blog readers, into a great and profound mystery. If you listen closely, I will tell you the secret wisdom that I have gained, that you may benefit from my insight. Actually, I can't do that. It would spoil the whole thing if I did that. Sorry, I can't tell. I did find out something else really cool, though, which I can tell you about. You might even know this already. Physical matter, right? Get this. Is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration. We're all one consciousness, perceiving itself subjectively. There's no such thing as death. Life is a dream, and we are the imagination of ourselves. Kiss Thad with the motherfucking weather. I think so. Boogie fever. That is all. That is all. Thank you.